Today's program is brought to you by Webroot. Discover cyber resilient solutions that are purpose-built to help MSPs delight clients and increase profitability. Start a free trial today of award-winning endpoint protection, DNS protection, or security awareness training. Visit webroot.com/MSP Alliance.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Can you resell managed services? That's not to say, can you take a managed service provider and put them in the channel? No, no. We're talking about, can managed service providers, MSPs themselves, develop, and should they develop, MSP channels of their own to resell their services to and through other providers? That's what we're going to be talking about today. And this is actually an oldie but a goodie, but it's something that I think is coming up a lot more frequently in discussions. And we have our friend back from Scott and Scott, Rob Scott, here to weigh in on these and other issues related to this topic. Rob, welcome to the program again.
Good to be here, Charlie. Thank you.
So, Rob, I know you and I have talked about this. I know this has come up going back more than a decade at MSP World conferences where this topic has come up, the so-called master MSP. I don't hear that term anymore. I think that was maybe a term of art that has come and gone, but why don't you preface this and give us, to the extent you can, a summary of, it sounds like you're seeing this come up again. In what context is that coming up in your conversations?
Well, I've got a lot of clients that are MSPs that are in niche service delivery areas or have very specific, solutions that have been compiled or aggregated to deliver certain things that are in high demand. And they have relationships with people that control customer relationships that don't have the technical expertise. And therefore, they're being approached by these folks to say, hey, can you help me deliver your services to my customers? And so we used to think about MSPs as being in a role of always controlling the customer relationship. But as MSPs have developed robust technical solutions that are in high demand, and they can replicate those through leveraging the customer relationships of other MSPs, we're starting to see a lot of people who used to think of themselves as direct sellers of managed services and or cloud-based solutions to really thinking about more of the indirect channel and leveraging the indirect channel as a way to scale a business more quickly, to get in front of more customers than what the MSP would be able to do on their own.
So this is an interesting topic that, again, if for those of you who've been around in the industry, you may recall the term master MSP. It was a phrase I'm pretty sure was coined by our friends over at Do IT Smarter. And it got a foothold in the community because it was a way for MSPs to break down the complexity of a VAR turning into an MSP, and the master MSP was there to help, right? They were already standing up a NOC. They were already standing up the help desk. They had the process. And so it was a good way. Rob, I kind of think of it as a traditional mentorship program, or, the way, law used to be taught. Right, back in the day, you would study law with someone, and that would be your road to the profession. Do you distinguish between a channel program, like a partner program, and reselling versus partnering? Which is there a distinction between the two?
Well, yeah, I think, and it's one of degrees. You know, legally, you know, I don't think any of these arrangements rise to partnerships. They're all independent, but from a business perspective, you know, reselling implies transactional. Partnering implies a value added. I think for the most part, this is a collaboration. You know, one MSP has a customer relationship and brings, you know, managed services tools to the table for that client. But increasingly, it's also other MSP solutions that are going into the basket of what someone might offer to a customer. And therein lies the opportunity for those in the community that have something that's unique that other people would like to introduce to their clients. And in a way that, particularly if there's software that's been developed or other proprietary and protectable intellectual property, it can be a very nice way to add incremental revenue through licensing and add on service fees.
Yeah. So it's interesting because there have been certain applications of this master MSP or reselling managed services that have done fairly well. And there have been some cases where it hasn't. And it seems to me, and I'd be curious, Rob, to hear your thoughts, that there are some applications of this reseller model that begin to see diminishing returns when the reseller, whatever that entity is, has less and less of a hand in delivering something of value. Meaning if they're only a billing sales functionary, right? Like the telecom agents, right? Telecom agents for years were viewed at as the potential future of the MSP community, but I don't think that has largely panned out. Versus a fully baked MSP who happens to say, I don't do something like you do. I would love to partner with you and offer your specialty services to my customers. Does that distinction make sense? And what are your thoughts on that?
It does. And it's the second category that I think is the one that we're focusing our attention on. And the reason for that is what you allude to. You have the potential to become irrelevant in the manner of a travel agent if really all you become is an order taker. You know, what I think is that, you know, to the extent that it's viable, if you can use your tools to help other managed service providers do their job better, you're adding to the community and you could get rewarded handsomely for it, if you approach it correctly. On the other hand, there's nothing wrong with two MSPs getting together and offering a combined solution to a client in a partnership method, as you've described. And you used the law analogy before, but it's common, for example, for multiple firms to represent parties in cases. Because those firms are bringing, you know, different aspects of the solution for the customer.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure John, our friend John Burgess, at a past MSP World Conference gave a session on the distinctions as he saw it between partnering and collaborating. And I can't remember the exact term of his talk, but he was basically for the concept that you've just articulated. And I'd like, but he made a distinction between that and reselling, which is typically reserved for things such as reselling a product, like a software or physical hardware. But that aside, if MSPs are to look at this type of collaboration, as you've outlined, as not just a good thing for the future, but critical for the survival and the, not legitimacy, but the ongoing trust that the MSP has earned with their customers, what are some of the things that the MSPs need to consider if they're going to go down this path? I'm assuming there's got to be some modification to their practice and maybe even to their agreements. No?
Yeah, it typically can be. I think the first thing that they've got to think about is what model are they going to use? Are they going to do a hybrid of direct and indirect? Are they going to be indirect only? Are they going to be more of a business where third parties, resellers, or others can make referrals, but that everything's signed up on their paper where they're going to contract directly with the end user? You know, some people contact only with the reseller, and then others, you know, contract with the end user directly. If there's any software aspects or any websites or anything that people are accessing, there's certainly end user license agreements that would need to be dealt with. To the extent that there are services that are being offered, a master services agreement or a professional services agreement related to those resources would need to be identified and contained in a contract. If you're appointing a reseller, an agreement that would authorize them to market your services, limit their use of your trademarks, give you all the rights to terminate them if they do something wrong, establish the procedures by which customers can be brought on board, and so forth. So it's not an insignificant amount of agreement. That being said, you know, I was the lawyer on the other end of the call when the principal of the company that you mentioned said, "Hey, I'm a master MSP, and I need you to set up all my agreements." So it's like you said, it's something that we've dealt with for a long time. I think that it's really taking on more steam at the moment because of the difficulty in the modern service delivery. You're aggregating a lot of things, but for the most part, it's with cloud, it's software, hardware, services, it's all kind of bundled into a solution. It's harder to identify who the partners are versus not, because there's so many moving parts in terms of hardware and software and
sure.
Hosted versus on, and the lines of demarcation, so to speak, are a lot more blurry in light of the cloud.
So Rob, that brings up a great question, which is, do you believe, as in the medical practice here in the States and perhaps elsewhere, that there ought to be this concept of the primary care MSP, right? The MSP that has responsibility and maybe owns the paper, owns the relationship, the contract that is with the customer, but is responsible for and directing the different resellers and or parties behind that MSP that they are delivering and offering to that customer base. What are your thoughts on that approach?
I like that idea. I think the person who's the closest advisor to the customer should play that role. And what it does is it makes it a lot more transparent as to what's going on, right? I'm your generalist. I'm your guy. I'm a triage guy. You come in, you tell me you need monitoring and management. I'm going to deploy a tool that's appropriate for that. You need spam filtering. I'm going to deploy a tool for that. You need, you know, advanced security services. I'm going to recommend this other group that's good.
So do you think that MSPs today ought to be updating their agreements to, by default, have these types of provisions in their contracts so that, A, they know how to communicate that to their customer? The customer is prepared legally for this concept that the MSP may be bringing multiple parties. And number two, so that the MSP has some sort of agreement methodology with other service providers, maybe other MSPs, to protect them and that risk, as you know, you are so often a proponent of knowing risk and properly allocating it. Should they have that?
The first piece, I would say 100%, that's something that's needed if this is the direction that you're going down. I mean, there's no need to do it if you're not going to, you know, offer the services in these ways. There's no, for example, if there's nobody out there that you want to sell your stuff, there's no need to have an agreement, right? If there's nobody accessing anything of yours, then you don't need end user license agreement, because you're not in, you don't have any software that needs to be licensed. But short of that, if any of these fact patterns apply to you, then you definitely need to have appropriate customer contracts in place. And obviously each business is different on that. And it really depends on what the business goals are at the time and in the immediate future. So I wouldn't say that as a general proposition, you'd want to do this just in case. But if this is an area that you're developing or have developed and need to get tidied up, then the customer contract should be an important first step.
Well, I mean, it seems like this is the path we're heading down because, you know, ConnectWise just last week announced two acquisitions, one of a SIM product and the other for a security operations center as a service company that they intend to sell to their MSPs globally. So I think that this is, we've arrived. We are now officially in a place where it is to be expected that MSPs servicing customers are going to have multiple people supporting them. I'm assuming you believe that there is a somewhat elegant way for the service providers in that situation to manage their risk contractually.
Well, I don't know how elegant it is because it's a little difficult with respect to, you know, the vendors that you're, that the client is going to, that the MSP is going to bring to the client. They may not be that flexible. That MSP may not have that much bargaining power to really change much.
Yeah.
But as relates to the contract between the MSP and the customer, that's where you want to get as much of the risk balancing pieces worked out. And there's a lot that can be done there. And our contracts cover, you know, a wide variety of potential risks.
Do you believe that this is a large is this an up and coming area of change for the MSPs and you know, are we there yet, or is this still, do we have a lot of adoption and road left ahead of us?
I think there's a runway for sure. This is some early, you know, stuff in terms of particularly cloud. But let me say this, if you are really good at offering cloud-based or remote solutions, and you've got it, you know, well packaged and very scalable, there's a good chance that other people are going to not want to reinvent that wheel and would be happy to just, you know, wholesale from you.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they? I mean, I think maybe the distinction in the past was the ownership of that client and thinking that, you know, I just think that the client relationship was overlooked too often in that early master MSP concept. But I think as more MSPs do have their own unique relationships with customers, this model makes sense. I mean, it's quite logical when you think about it.
You know, if you think about it at a high level, if we put all the salespeople in the industry in one company and we put all the technology people in another company and the two partnered with each other instead of worked in the same organization, you'd really, you know, but for breaking it out into the various entities, you have my point, which is there's nothing wrong with someone else selling your stuff. And it can become wildly lucrative for you, particularly if it's automated by software.
Yeah. Well, Rob, I think I as always, I mean, we love having you back, but I think we should let's keep an eye on this, because if this is a trend that you see, right, I assume if they're getting to you at the point where they're saying, "Hey, Rob, please update my service agreement," that has got to be this is a matured thought, and they're not just toying around with this. They're going to production. They're going to market with this. Is my read?
No question.
Well, for those of you who are thinking about this, if you are not sure if you should do it, if you're wanting to do it, but you don't know how to do it safely, give Rob a call. Go visit his website at scottandscottllp.com. Did I get that right, Rob?
That's it, scottandscottllp.com.
Yeah, and go check them out and talk to them. Book some time with Rob and his team. And, you know, I think this is, if this is the beginning of a trend, why not get ahead of it early? And, you know, get yourself prepared, get your contracts updated, make sure you're protected, make sure your customers are protected. And yeah, I don't see any reason not to do this, especially since customers want more breadth, more diversity, and expansive services. And this is probably the best way for an MSP to do it, short of organic growth or acquisition. Well, Rob, always appreciate your time and wisdom you share with us. Can't wait to have you back soon.
Thank you so much. Look to talk to you again soon. Thank you.
And this is Charles Weaver for MSP Zone. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.